You're with SBS Radio.
Face masks and shields are now a hot commodity as evidence shifts towards their impact on reducing COVID-19 infection rates. But do they really address the needs of all users? Were they designed to be worn all day? What if you're allergic to the type of fabric used on the most commonly available masks? To try to unpack these issues and address some of these concerns is Dr. Manisha Amin, CEO of the leading social enterprise in this space, Center for Inclusive Design, who are experts in inspiring examples of inclusion in best practice design globally. Welcome to NITV Radio, Dr. Amin.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, face masks, are they one size fits all?
No, not at all. So if you think about it, face masks were originally designed in Australia, at least for the medical community. And we all have different shapes of faces and we all have different needs. And so as face masks become something that people wear every day, like most things, like a jumper or a pair of shoes, we need designs that fit each of us for all of our special needs.
Yeah, so they're not designed for everyone. We need to consider special needs. For people for people who have trouble hearing, well, sometimes they need to be able to actually see who is talking to them, to be able to understand what they're saying. And in this age when we're wearing face masks, communicating in these conditions can be a bit troublesome.
Yes, that's exactly right. And what we're finding is that for some communities, the standard mask that people see, whether it's the standard blue medical masks or the full face coverings, really do impact on the way that they are able to communicate. So, and the government has some really good rules around this. So they talk not only about face masks, but also face shields, where you have a clear shield if you are a person with disability. At the moment, what's happening is for people who are deaf or who have a hearing impairment, when you're in hospital, they will actually provide often interpreters and translators as well. However, for daily-day work, it's really quite difficult. So some people in the community have designed some really great masks that actually have a clear perspex or a clear plastic piece just in front of the mouth so that people can actually see what's being heard. And it turns out these masks are also really great for people, especially for young children with epilepsy, because sometimes the way that someone's mouth moves before epilepsy, parents can see that, or they can see if a child is distressed, especially in countries like overseas where young children are being asked to wear masks as well as older children. You know, this becomes really important because sometimes wearing a mask, it's not something we're used to, right?
Yeah, but also I can see when we were talking about overseas where masks are mandatory even at a very young age. Here in Australia, I can see issues arising when kids who are learning to speak, usually they learn by seeing and they learn visually, the way you pronounce the words, the way you communicate to them. Now, communicating with a mask in an educational setting can be a little bit of a challenge.
It's difficult, and I think the current guidelines, look, I'm not a health practitioner, so we do look at the guidelines that and the medical advice being provided by each state. But the guidelines at the moment are that the teacher doesn't wear a mask, so to help with that. But this is where things like shields can also help because they provide that clear protection and you can still see someone's mouth. The critical thing with a shield is you just need to make sure that it still covers all of those other areas so items or particles can't get in. So that makes a big difference. And what we're finding, I mean, at the Centre for Inclusive Design, we actually look at how designs from those age groups actually solve everyday problems. And as you're saying, if we solve the problems for people who can't hear, it actually makes a mask better for all sorts of other uses as well.
And also another for other people, I've seen this happen even in my own workplace. People report nose bleeding and migraines and headaches. How do we address this?
Look, I think it's, again, there's no one solution for every one group. But what we are finding is that where one group has had some or has hacked a mask or come up with a new way of mask wearing, that actually helps for a lot of other people. So, you know, again, so for some of these things, the face shields are much better. For other areas, it might be that the mask, the elastic around the mask is causing an impact on the neck or head, causing migraines, etc. So there are masks that some of the mums have actually made for children with autism, where they struggle with the plastic or the elastic, where the mask actually buttons onto a hat, or where masks are actually being used with Velcro straps on them so that it doesn't put as much elastic or pressure behind the neck and the ear. Those masks are also really good for the elderly who might be struggling to put the mask on effectively as well.
Yeah. How about we're talking about these different issues we've addressed, we've explored, but there's another issue that's not really discussed. It's about the cost for on families, because it's an extra $2 or $3 a day on people's budgets.
Yes, that's right. I think that the making a mask is much better for people who are struggling than buying a mask. And the benefit of that at the moment, and the government is promoting the making of masks, are the reusable masks as well, rather than the one-off masks. I think the critical thing to remember is they have to be washed and dried out in the sun as well.
Yeah.
But when we make a mask, you can actually make a mask that actually fits your face size and shape as well. And there's nothing against reusable materials as long as they are the right thickness and softness as well. The benefit we're seeing with some of the masks is also that often people will use materials that are important to them or close to them or relate to their identity as well.
Yeah.
As long as the mask fits the government guidelines, and I think the best options I've seen recently are, unfortunately, of course, from Victoria, and they have not only instructions but also a video that helps people to make masks. And that does make it a lot less pricey, especially for people who are struggling at the moment.
Yeah, it's also a cultural thing. We've seen in the news the famous Karen fighting mask wearing in different places, post office, Bunnings, warehouse. This has been, in Asia, the acceptance of masks is widespread, but we have a cultural kind of a roadblock here in Australia.
Look, and I think it's one of those interesting things, right, culturally, because sometimes masks have really been associated with things we don't like. So unfortunately, sometimes, you know, there have been so many racial slurs against people from Asian communities for wearing masks.
Yeah.
There are parts of our community where young people who might have been wearing scarves or masks over their faces have often been targeted. So I think that part of this is actually not necessarily about the mask. It's actually about some of the ways that we think about exclusion and inclusion.
Yeah.
And I think also, you know, we're not used to it. It's a new thing for us. So some of the, when we talk about edge users, we're talking about people who have a really strong experience of something different or a really strong experience of what's actually happening. So one of the interesting to think about from a cultural perspective are the doctors who work with young children in hospitals. And one of the things that they've been saying is, look, often when they speak with their whole face. So it's not just their mouth that's smiling. They exaggerate their movement, so their eyes are smiling as well. And this means that actually for children, they can see that the doctor is welcoming even if they can't see the face. And so I think these are some of the things as a community we need to learn. How do we welcome with our whole body, not just with our mouth? Because we do privilege the mouth and the face.
Yeah, and when you say that, I experienced this myself when I went to pick up something at the post office sometime last week. They couldn't hear me with a mask on. And because of my accent, they probably couldn't hear. It was even exaggerated with a mask on. I had to remove my mask, actually, to be able to be heard and served.
And that's the hard part. That's where the masks for deaf people are actually quite good, because sometimes if you can see someone's lips, you can actually tell what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so those masks are definitely great when we're thinking about people with accents as well.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Amin, is there anything we haven't covered you would like to add today?
No, not really. I think the only thing I would say is that one of the biggest challenges are for people who are struggling with sensory needs. So check out the different types of fabrics and materials that you can use to make those masks just a little bit more comfortable for people who are struggling with the facial impact of the mask. And the benefit is if you're making masks rather than buying them, you can actually fit them so that they're not as heavy or hard on your face.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.